and welcome to the Stretch Podcast. My name is Lebukule, your host. My guests and I will be having conversations on matters of self-development, emotional well-being, spiritual growth, and overall transformation. These are guests whose work, expertise, knowledge, and wisdom has inspired and moved me tremendously, and I hope that they inspire and move you too. Here is another episode of the Stretch Podcast. Before the episode, just a note to say, if you're hearing this, it means you are not on the subscriber base of the Stretch Podcast, which means you will only be getting half an episode. We do not run adverts on this podcast. We do not claim to. Our income is directly from our subscriber base. We would love for you to join the subscriber base if you love and value what we do here. The subscription is 99 rands. You will get the link to subscribe on the show notes at the bottom or on all of my social media links on the bio. Until then, enjoy this episode. And I will see you, hopefully soon, on the other side. Hey, hey, Dumelang, Dumelang, my friends. It is I, Lebukule, your host, with another episode of the Stretch Podcast. And today I am in conversation with Xoli Madlala. I mean, if you know Xoli, you know that she's quite impactful. You know, she's got this unforgettable thing about her, and I'm going to tell you just briefly how I met her in person, and then I will read her bio. But first, I ziyakhala, guys. It is bad. I am tired. In fact, Amanda was just telling me just last week on our Friday afternoon meeting that I've actually never taken leave this year. And yes, I've taken things slow. Yes, I've taken a break from one aspect of my work and then focused on the other. But I've never actually taken leave. Even when I was at America, it was work-related. You know, it was engaging your mind. I wasn't there on a holiday. It wasn't a vacay. And the actual travel itself, you know, I remember when I came back, it took me almost 7 days to just feel like myself again. So anyway, she was just reminding me, actually, yes, to be honest, yes, you're taking day offs here and there, you're taking public holidays, you are not overexerting, but you've never taken time off work. So it sort of makes sense that I'm feeling the exhaustion earlier than usual. And also I've taken up extra work in that I am hands-on in editing the podcasts. Like, I do the final edits, which is quite a lot of work. So yeah, I'm feeling it. So I want to just promote just a few things. One, the coaching notes are doing pretty well, and I realize I don't promote them as usual as much here. Coaching notes is when I offer coaching services or coaching content, but instead of you sitting with me one-on-one, you are listening to me on audio, coaching you or giving you teaching coach. It's coachy teachy on topics that you may deal with on the everyday, like topics like boundaries, giving, receiving. We've had so many. I even forgot. I think we are now on coaching note number 46, if I'm not mistaken. And the idea is that you listen to that audio once a week, because I record it live once a week. I get a live, I don't mean it is recorded. It means I record it that week. If we have a coaching note this week, I record it this week so that it's fresh. It's relevant. It's now. I'm using examples that you can relate with. If people who will be listening to coaching notes years to come, because I mean, it will stay on the internet, will feel the presence of me recording them in real time. That's how these things work. It will only start to be stale, I think, about 5 years later. In which case, you know, if coaching notes are still a product that I want to push, we will renew and archive the rest and so on. So I would like you to please join those. It's 120 a month. And in a month, you get 4 coaching notes and you listen to them once. It's there once a week. Coaching notes land on a Monday now. Do they land on a Monday? They land on a Monday. So, yeah. Please subscribe to those. You don't understand how much these small subscription amounts, the difference they make. They help us build. So I don't take them for granted. I don't look them as, okay, 120. Oh, it's a 120 complain. Sorry, you can tell it's an inside joke. Once 100 rand, oh, complain along for podcast. I had so. No, I don't do that at all. I don't do that at all. So please do join the coaching notes. And yes, of course, please subscribe to the Stretch podcast. It is only 100 rand for full conversations. And the subscriptions of the podcast, to be quite honest with you, I'm way, way slower than we had anticipated. There are people who are subscribing, but it is like, what? And again, you know, I understand attention is a serious, serious currency right now. We all want your attention. We all want you to listen to our stuff. I'm just hoping that the loyalists, the people who've been there from inception, the people who've been listening to the podcast for more than 2 years, you guys, please subscribe. You know, it would make my heart happy. So please subscribe. It's 99 rands a month for full episodes and some bonus episodes. Some bonus episodes that I think you will love is my full experience of the US trip. I gave them 3 bonus episodes. I mean, really sacred information about how the Parliament of World Religion made me feel. I know we gave you 2 free episodes where I was just sharing, and then my conversation with Cindy DBT. There's 3 more bonus episodes of my real deeper experience of a spiritual nature that happened to me. So maybe that might be incentive enough. And next year we'll have more bonus episodes. Anyway, I will do a solo before the end of the year where I will be sharing with you what will be happening for the podcast in the new year. Okay. Last but not least, there's a retreat coming up in March from the 11th to the 16th. We are going to Lesotho. We are going to Lesotho to a place called Thababosiu. Yo, that place. Sacred, sacred. You see the sacredness of it already online. I will be going to visit it in person in December, just after Christmas, and there or early January, one of those days. I haven't confirmed, so that I can feel it in person. One of the things about the retreats is that the venue itself is part of the retreat. The venue itself talks to the retreat and what you will experience. This is why we don't retreat to the hoteling or go the conference venues. No, the venue has to have that sacredness about it. You know, the delegates at George that went to us with me to George can just attest to that. So I'm going to go to Thababosiu to just visit it for a weekend and feel and touch it, and then so that when I receive you, dear delegate, in March, you know, I receive you to at a place that I have sensed and felt. Yes, because you know when your tongue is slower than your mind, or your mind is slower than your tongue, yeah, when you're kind of incoherent, that's how exhausted I am. Anyway, about today's episode, oh my God, I struggled so much to title this episode. But so let me tell you briefly about Goli, and then I'm going to read her bio. So the first time I met this beautiful lady was in 2015. She had come to attend one of the events I used to just do as with Facebook people. So I have, so the whole thing of gathering people is something that I have innately. you know, where I would say itlang re kopaneng, let's get together, people come. It's something that comes very naturally to me. Even if you're a stranger, you would want to gather with me because it was just people on Facebook. We used to converse a lot on Facebook. Koli was one of the regular commenters, and not commenter nje, like really weighty, really juicy comments where she would engage my posts, you know, in a meaningful way. And so I created an event, and it was in Alex, called Club Ne. I don't know if you guys know, remember Club Ne. It's no longer now. And she showed up as one of the guests. And I remember that event was nicely well attended. And the first thing Koli said to me, I don't know if you are Kumbula, Koli. The first thing she said was that, oh my God, you're more beautiful in person. And you have such amazing legs. I do have beautiful legs, thanks to my mama. But I hadn't had anyone openly praise me like that. You know, I do, by the way, but we generally look at a person and marvel at their beauty or their charm or their warmth or their whatever and say nothing. So I will never forget her for that, because she just came straight and said, you look so much prettier in person. Not that the pictures are ugly, you know, get me right. You look so much prettier in person, and you have such killer legs. And I mean, you can never forget that. I get it, as they say, you can forget what the person said, you can forget what the person did, but you'll never forget to how they made you feel. And she made me feel seen and so special. And it was just, wow, you know, indelible mark. Of which I responded equally, because I mean, she has a body to die for. She has a confidence. She has a beautiful face. I remember she had her hair shaved, or it was short. I think it was a short hair. It wasn't shaved, but she shaves her head. I mean, you know, Koli's that confidence. She shaves her head. She uluhadi Benny and Betty, you know, the Benny and Betty muluho olua hulu. She wears prints. She just does her thing. You know, she's here in this world to live. Koli is here to live, guys. You know, akapa motu. Amazing, amazing lady. Then I met her again at another event, out in a Kodi Plotong somewhere. I was one of the speakers. I was on a panel, I remember. She was in the audience. And I remember after speaking, because I needed to rush back home to go pick up Tau at school. And she walked me to my car. I don't remember. I don't know if you are Kumbula Koli. She walked me to my car. Like, I mean, who does that? And the event was still going on. She got out of the way. She walked me to my car. Yeah. And then I think we subsequently met at other events. And, you know, she is such an impactful lady. And that's why she is able to bring up topics such as perimenopause, premenopause, postmenopause, menopause, there's so many pauses, and to get us sit up and listen. She has a powerful story of her going through a premenopause, which I'm not going to get into the details. You will listen in the podcast. But more importantly, buy her book. Read the book. It is fat. It's as thick as the Bible, but it is an easy read. You know, it's scary at first, especially these days where even avid readers like us are terrified of books that look big. It really just flows. Her manner of writing is completely different, and I talk about it as we open the conversation. We talk about how she is just hating professors with her butchering of the writing fraternity. Creative writers are gonna kill you, Koli. So I mean, I can go on and on and on about me and Koli. Let me read her bio, if I could just find it. Where Koli Gamazala wears different hats as a creative director and founder at Indigenously, a contemporary African print clothing line, the founder of Mask Off. You'll remember Mask Off, she used to talk about it online. A platform to discuss varying topics that society still deems as taboo, from mental health to menopause. She is the co-founder of Epitome Image and Lifestyle Management, and also runs the Xoli Madlala Foundation. She loves authentic conversations, spending time with loved ones, making a positive impact, and enjoys learning new things. I've just remembered another incident that's quite important. I actually can't not tell you about this. Another time that Xoli and I met in person, she met me ko Alexandra to come and give me pads, food hampers, I think some clothing items for some of the people ko Alexandra. I had an inbox conversation with her about some of the families that I help, you know, even here in Beaufort West, there's some families that I sort of help. And so I was like, geez, it's Christmas time, you know, there's a teenager, there's this, there's that. And she's like, she said, send me location. Those days there was no send me location. She said, I know Alex, where can we meet? We met at the garage, and she gave me a huge plastic of food hampers. I remember there was a lot of pads, there was a lot of tins, there was a lot of bri packs, there was a lot of also smaller nyana clothes, there was nappies. Yes, how can I forget this part? But I'm glad I remembered, and it was through reading her bio. So she does a lot of good in the world. She understands why she's here. And I'm happy that the topic of pre-menopause was bestowed on someone so young and so beautiful and so influential that we can actually sit up and listen. Her story is incredible, and that's why this conversation is a two-part. It's a two-part because can you believe that the first time we actually start defining what a perimenopause is, what a premenopause is, what menopause is, what postmenopause is, and her journey of being postmenopausal in her 30s, you know, she went on menopause in her 30s. We only talk about all those in part two. But don't worry, part one is a lot. In part one, we cover the book itself, why she wrote the book, her reasons, the backstories, and obviously we meander, we go up, we go down. I mean, you know, it's a beautiful conversation. It's going to be like you're listening to two girls just hanging out and really just opening their hearts and stripping naked for each other in a metaphoric way. You're going to enjoy it so much that you're going to want to listen to the full episode. Yes, as the one who are on free, you are still getting a partial episode of part one, and you may because the team is arguing that maybe the free people should not even get part two. No, we will still get part two, just in case it's someone who comes across the podcast and have never heard of me, have never heard of us, and wants to subscribe immediately, because that's happening a lot. We're getting people who, I just started listening last week and I'm subscribing, you know. So yeah, you'll still get a partial episode of part two. We are hoping that you have a change of heart and subscribe. Without much ado, I give you my conversation with Xoli Madlala. Xoli Madlala, hello and welcome to the Stretch Podcast. My goodness, take two. We are doing take two.
That's how special this is.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome, Sisi. I mean, what have you done? Like, remember when I got the book, the first thing I said was, what have you done? Wow, what a monster of a book. I love everything about this book. It's a serious book in that whoever is going to pick it up and read it, in as much as it's scary because it's fact, but it's unputdownable, if there's such a thing. I also, and I know I'll make you talk just now, I also love the style, the fact that you butchered the entire writing, putting your Facebook commentary, your Facebook post. I could feel I'm a professor's pulling their hair and putting emojis and putting, you know, lingo, yeah, social media. I'm in awe. So how did this happen, Xoli? Take me through the backstory of why this book, why now?
I'm just still basking at all the words, all the expressions that you've just used to explain and describe the book. And one that I'm going to use moving forward is that it's fat, but it's unputdownable, because everybody that sees it, the first comment is like, oh my God, it is so big. And then I have to explain that don't get daunted by the size. Like, it is
Yeah,
an easy read, you know?
it's an easy
So,
read. It's so confusing because sizes like this already scare you, because already we're living in a TikTok world. Our attention span is 2 seconds. Anything beyond 5 seconds is too long. But I'm telling you, we are slower. And I'm actually telling the listener now who's terrified by thick books. It flows. It's a fascinating story. I mean, it meanders, it goes personal, and then it goes research, and then it goes educational, and then it goes textbook, and then it comes back to personal. Aibo, Aibo. Okay, now tell us, Khekhor, why the book? Why now? Why this topic? Why you?
Why me? I'll start with the why me. I always say that God did not make a mistake when he chose me, because I speak as I experience it. I speak as I see it. So he knew that since this is a taboo subject that is shrouded with so much secrecy, with so much shame, when it came to me, he knew that I was going to spell it, paint it as it is. And that's what I've always aimed to do since 2016, when I finally knew what was happening. So the backstory of the book is, before it became a book, it was a Facebook post, because that's where I was just sharing my experience after obviously getting the final full confirmation as to what I had been going through for the past few years. So when my story with premature menopause started, I didn't know at all that such a thing existed. Hence, I wasted so much time treating the symptoms, not knowing that they could have been a serious underlying cause to what I was experiencing. So the Facebook post, then they eventually obviously gave birth to this book. And whether it's Facebook, whether you're sitting across from me, whether you're reading the book, you get Xoli. So those that know me in real life, whenever they read the book, they say that they read it in my voice,
Yes, I do.
meaning
I do too. I
meaning that
do too. Yeah.
meaning that there's no disconnect. And I think I was intentional with that, that I did not want to have a disconnect when somebody that knows me reads the book and then they cannot find Xoli. And I wonder the person that does not know Xoli, that reads the book, when they meet Xoli, then the synergy is still there. Hence, then finding the right publisher was important. Hence, the decision to go the self-publishing route of the book was important, so that I do not get diluted. I strive for authenticity in every area of my life, whether it's at work, whether it's romantically, in friendships, in every space, I always present myself, you know?
You strive for authenticity, something I've experienced. I've met you in person maybe a few times. But also you are brave. And I mean this because you do things that not ordinary people do. This might be a side note, but if Iskhathi's corner, we can talk about it later. The fact that you also decided, now I'm going to be celibate until I'm married. Really. And who does that in their 30s, in their mid-30s, when we are, I don't know if I can swear in my own podcast. No, it's not swearing. When we are at almost our horniest, and when are you deciding, or no one's going to touch me except for the man that I'll spend the rest of my life with. So all this to say that you are not only authentic, you are also very, very brave. And also another bravery is the way you wear your hair. You are one of the few people that I met in person who shaved consistently. And then after shaving, walo khabo and Betty. When people are wearing weaves, whenever it's a Benny and Betty. And the third other reason that proves your braveness is your style of clothing. I remember you made the patterns and those colorful dresses so popular on social media and all that. Yeah, so you can go back to your train of thought, if you still remember it.
Yes. The book, obviously, before it came to be, it was quite a number of years in the making without me being aware. Because when I got the confirmation in 2016, I kind of started backtracking as to the past few years, what I've been going through, what was happening. So it started like as a journaling, like I'll write, and also I will come to Facebook and post. So in hindsight, that laid the foundation of the book without me being aware. And during that time, I was also hosting conversations with different people. Others would respond via inbox, WhatsApp, because people were not comfortable, obviously, talking about these things in social platforms. You know, people screenshot and you no longer have control over your comment. It's not just on Xoli's timeline, you see. So people just like on the sidelines come and speak to me. And I continued the showing up and just updating people about my journey. Hence, even my very first post is included in the book. It just said, "Perimenopause can suck it." And that was it.
Yes, I
No
remember that.
words,
Yeah.
no words following it, and minimal reaction, obviously, because we were not talking about such a conversation in that time, and nobody knew much. And also, I think I did not know much. And as the years progressed, I stopped the journaling, but I was more on social platforms and I became a babe to menopause subconsciously, because then I would post a lot about it, post a lot about it. And then come 2022, yes, last year, then the voice. I am a big believer of the voice. I always say that we are divinely guided. I always say I'm divinely
Absolutely.
guided, you know, and I do not take it lightly. The voice, no, 2021, the voice said, "I must stop with the clothing company." As you mentioned, that I love prints. I've got the clothing line, right? Indigenously. And I had been actively like working at it, big plans to take it to the next level. And then the voice was like, "You're gonna stop. You need to stop." I'm like, "Stop." I was like, "Okay, yes, I understand the stopping, but stopping to do what?" Because you always want to understand, you know, but I did not have the answer. So I put the post up on Facebook. It was September, which was the clothing line's anniversary, because I'm big on milestones. So I put the post up that I know that I'm supposed to be celebrating another milestone when it comes to the clothing line, but the announcement is I'm going on a hiatus. I'll be back. I didn't explain anything. September, October, November, December, January, February, then March, then the prompting came. Pick up where you left off. The book, the journaling that you had started, now is the time to work at it. And that's how then the book actively like came to be, me like focusing on it. And interestingly, as an off-ramp, past weekend on Saturday, I was at Naledi Farm. And I caught a glimpse of the Lebopule room. And when I started writing the book, I understood the importance of actually taking time out of secluding yourself from the noise, from the clutter, from people. But I did not have the luxury of obviously moving away. But at the same time, the blessing is in the house. It's just me and my husband. So we had to have conversations that this is what is happening. This is the journey that I'm embarking on, because sometimes I'll be up in the middle of the night doing research. I'll be up sending emails to maybe in the US, because I mean, I had to get the right information, as you were saying, that the book is also research-based, it's academia. So I needed credibility. So to walk in some of those corridors virtually, it needed to happen at the right time. And I laugh and say that my emails have walked the streets of the Washington Post, where I've never been, but then I needed to speak to those people. So, yes, I spent quite a bit of time then working on the book. And then I finished it officially in November last year. Then began the process now of getting the right publisher, because I had decided that I was going to go the self-publishing route. I searched around, and then eventually the person that I found, the spirit said, she's the one. And I shared the screenshot of our message not so long ago. Because we never have met in person, but I knew when I came across her profile and when we spoke that it was going to be her. And I let her know, obviously, the kind of person that I am. I'm very fussy, I'm finicky, and all of that. So I needed to make sure that she understands what she was going to take on, and that my vision for the book was something that maybe is going to be out of the norm for her. But she was up to the challenge.
So you were clear that it's going to be butchering, writing.
Yes,
professors are going to screech.
Pull their hairs out. I knew that because even in the house, sometimes we've had the conversations with Mr. Smanbani, my husband, for those that don't know. He'll be like, "Aren't you worried about this butchering, that it might put some people off using some of the Zulu flippant words here and
singing
there?"
My jig. Yeah. I was singing my jig in the book.
You read the book, so you know it, Lebu. And so I told him that, you know what, at the end of the day, the world needs authenticity. We are so quick to be able to say gracias, or like all of these words from all these other languages, you know. But why are we always second guessing ourselves when it's time to also throw our own words here and there? How's the world gonna know certain? Because it's people get fascinated by language, especially words that are thrown randomly. And as you say, thingamajig, you know, hi.
It's kind of old, but there are some that we use in the lingo. In social media. But you know what else it showcases about you specifically? Obviously, Mina, I know you are very artistic, but it also shows through your words, like you are artistically weird. You're very verbose, as you know. like yours. But you're artistic about it. I don't know if anyone will get me. I think when you get me. So I'll be reading, but I can see an artist. I can hear an artist almost. I can picture it as well. So very interesting.
I like people that allow the mind to take them wherever. People that don't overthink things. And it's one of the things that I've always kind of known, that when I put the book out, it was not an ego-driven exercise. It was not also a feel good anything, but more than anything, I wanted obviously to impact lives positively. I wanted women to nod in agreement, especially those that are not gifted like some of us in forms of expression. Hence, even in my wise, I say that I want the women that cannot express themselves to be able to nod in agreement. And if it means that they pass on the book to somebody else that they coexist with, so that that person can read and then finally also get what they're going through, then yes, my job is partially done. But also there is people that are not big readers that are going to be like, I'd rather watch what you're talking about, you know? So hence I'm saying that what you are saying, even some menopausal women, their attention span sometimes, they've asked me like, our reading has taken a knock. You know, we want to read the book, but audio booking, Yana, or something else that can allow us to follow because we want to, but the struggle is real. So I love what you said, and yes, we're gonna do all of those things.
Okay, thank you so much, Chloe, for why you, because you're answering why you, and you've answered it so beautifully. Now, why this topic? And we're obviously going to spend a lot of time on the actual topic, because it is, you know, when you don't know that something is very close to your heart until it's shown to you that, oh my God, this is close to my heart, actually. Mm-hmm. Why this topic? I know it's mixed up with your story, and I'm just going to give you the platform to talk about why this topic, who are you targeting, what are you trying to really actually do with this peri, and menopause. We'll come to the definitions a bit later.
Yes, we will come to the definitions later because they're very important for people to stay with us. Why? I always say it's quite a number of whys, but more than anything, I think as you were saying that, Black people, we don't like talking about the important things. We want to, like, we can spend hours, as you were saying, talking whether it's Thabo Bester. Like, people were so vested in Thabo Bester. Even people that you did not know, which they've got all the time because they hardly engage.
Mamela, I was so judgy. Being judged, guys.
So it's always, so Nami, I think whenever, like, I'd get moments where I just chastise people on my timeline that, but guys, no, we can't be gathering in this amazing platform. And it's always airy-fairy, it's fluff, it's candy floss, it's this and that. We need to be, I mean, social media is the one platform that is meant to bring us together so that we can, like, talk about important things. When you walk away, when you logged off, you gleaned something that you were not aware of. But the moment one is talking about important things, it's like, yo, people just run for cover. I think you've seen that meme where people are ducking, and I think there is shots being fired and people are running. I'll imagine some of my posts doing that, but I wouldn't care. And the other year, I got so frustrated. I wore this nice one piece, almost like a bodysuit, very nice and sheer. I get it, the body vele. I mean, like, yeah, it's all good. So I took a photo that is out of character for me, and as much as the body is, but I never flaunt the body on
Your
social
body are
platform.
again sham.
But that day, I took like photos of the bodying, and then no caption, put it out there. Within like a couple of minutes, like the reactions, and then I screenshots deleted it. Then I put what I wanted to talk about, and then the screenshot of the bodying. I'm like, guys, look at this. We cannot have reactions when it's bodies bodying, and then when I bring up important conversations, and then you run for cover. And my
I
friend.
believe you. Sorry, because I want you to hold that thought, ne? I thought I was the only one that bitches about that. I thought I was, I know these algorithms. Just to be fair to the listener, I know Facebook algorithm is such that it will amplify the bodying. So sometimes nyani nyani, it's people not seeing posts. But if it's someone who really honestly follows you all the time, they will see your non bodying post, and sometimes they're even terrified of liking it. I don't know why, but and I'm so happy I can talk to someone who gets it.
I tell you,
Like they
like
see
I
it.
even I'd unfriend people sometimes out of frustration, like, why are you in my timeline if we're not engaging? Up until I think last year, then somebody told me this, you know what? Some of us, we are not as gifted in terms of being able to maybe express ourselves. So we read and nod, or maybe we're not as clued up, so we are there to just read and keep it moving. I'm like, a reaction, WhatsApp me, do something. Like the same way that, I mean, if there's something you say, friend, inbox me this. If it's a funny video, send this. People find ways to get things that interest them. So if you're not saying anything, so it will get so frustrating. So that is one of the reasons that I wanted to bring this conversation up. And I think I suffocated people. I shoved it down their throats for so much that even those that were not interested, they eventually started getting interested, because I was like, you know, you're gonna know about this. It's important for you. The same way that you say that health is wealth, but you need to be informed holistically about even things that you think they are too far away from you, because that's another thing. We think this topic of menopause, it's only when you are a certain age. But if you can have period preparation, you can have pregnancy preparation, we talk about these things, we know about them. We know about cancer. You don't have to have gone through cancer to know that there's things that are called chemotherapy, there's radiation, there's this and that. We know about October, the pink drives. Most people don't know that October is also World Menopause Awareness Month, you know. So I was like, I'm gonna send information. Sometimes it's serious, sometimes I deliver it in a way that obviously throws humor, because can't take away from the fact that, I mean, menopause has always been seen as a heavy subject. So I had to try also here and there, put humorous ways, take photos of myself when I'm getting a hot flush so that people can see with, yay, it gets hectic. I was like, I'm not gonna fan myself. I'm just gonna allow this episode to have its glory so that I can capture the photo And then I put it up, and I was in Brazil. I remember that day. And I was like, I'm going to allow it. It did its thing. I was glistening, had beads of sweat even on the top of my lip. Then I took the photos. Like, another day, another episode.
Okay. So that's part of your why, to educate, to bring the subject to fore. I want to read some of your bullet points here of your why, if you'd allow me, because I just think it's so, that gave me goosebumps, and I just highlighted them. So to learn and understand menopause in the African context before Westernization, how did they navigate this phase of life? To get the topic to be normalized at church too. For medical practitioners to read more about lived experiences, because some only know what they learned at medical school. They have not, they have not gone through menopause yet. And some of them are male. Yes, for the Department of Education to see importance of adding menopause into biology curriculum, the same way puberty, pregnancy are included. My God. Why are you too brave? To share the positives of menopause, to give menopause dignity. This is amongst the whys, dear listener, because I think she has over 30 whys. Now, I want to stay with one of the whys, the medical and the African context. Maybe let's start with the African context. It was an eye-opener for me when I discovered, oh, wait a minute, ugogwam used to tell me when I started going on a period at 13, I remember I told my mom, gogo happened to be there. Gogo was kinder than my mom. My mom did what all mothers do. My mom just said, ukulile manje, ukulile manje, be careful. Yes. And Gogo just said, you know, this is what a woman goes through. I mean, Gogo was just amazing. And then even when I got pregnant, you know my story, I got pregnant at 16. After being shouted at and all sorts of things, Gogo was the one who always said to me, you must love your child, even in retro, and take me through the pregnancy and the stages of pregnancy. Wait, Gogo, I can't believe you invoked Gogo. I'm feeling emotional. I've never spoken about this.
Wow. I think I've got a Gogo spirit these days. Just an off-ramp.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, I attended an event.
A good spirit, yeah.
Another girl said I reminded her of a Gogo.
About Gogo in this manner. And
Wow.
And then later on, I remember we were talking about relationships, no Gogo. Mm. I was divorcing. And she's like, no, you still have time. You actually don't need a man now, later on. And she mentioned, I think she was trying to talk about the fact that there's going to be a time where you are horny AF. Although she didn't put it in those words. There's going to be a time where uzofunin daughter on the time, Maragogo.
You'll be on heat.
Why did you bring a man former? Oh, my word, Polly.
She planned it. She planned it to happen this way.
And we never spoke about menopause right now. But the point I was trying to make is that it stops after children. Like, we don't talk about when eggs now end, that period. What did you discover in your research, if at all? Because I know you struggled a little bit to get information.
I struggled. And before we continue, at which point do you want us to lay the foundation of these terminologies for the ones that might not be clued up about all these pauses that I'm going to keep throwing moving forward?
Let's finish the African thing.
Okay.
And then we then get into the definitions. And then this is a two-parter. Clearly, because I do want your story to come through as well. To say you're still in the beginning, it might even be a three-parter, who knows?
Listen, I think it's a meeting of people that that are quite expressive, that have a lot to say, that speak their minds. So, hey, two parts, three parts. We are also guided anyway. Nang no Gogo was here. So, who knows? This is beyond us.
Yeah.
Anyway,
well, this is the end of the road for you. If you want to continue listening to this episode, you will have to subscribe to the Shrek Podcast for 99 rands. The link to subscribe will be found on all the show notes at the bottom and on all of my social media handles on a link tree. It simply says, subscribe to the Shrek Podcast, and then you will get all the episodes in full, plus bonus episodes and some of the coaching notes that I share with subscriber only. Until then, I will see you next week with another episode. Love and green lights to you.